This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. Summer's winding down, which means less time outdoors to sample the delights of the beach, the woods, or the street, specifically street food. We sent our crack team of reporters out to find the ultimate street food in their towns. First up is NPR's Karen Grigsby Bates in Los Angeles.
Chicago has Polish hots and bratwurst. Philly has cheesesteaks and soft pretzels. L.A. has tacos. Tacos are the universal quick meal here. They transcend age, ethnicity, income, and neighborhood. They come in every type. You can get highfalutin ones stuffed with shrimp and lobster. You can get kosher ones, vegetarian ones, down-home ones made with goat or tripe. It's all good. We're here in Hollywood to check out Terry's Mexican Grill. It has received plaudits from both the Spanish language press and the gringo LA Times as having fabulous Mexican food. So we're stopping to talk with the proprietor, Roberto, and his wife, Terry, to see what goes into their tacos.
And what part of Mexico are you from?
Michoacán, Zamora, Michoacán.
And what kind of tacos are you known for down there?
I make tacos, carne asada, chicken, fish, pork, chorizo, potato. I make French homemade tortillas, and it's more stuff. It's more like lettuce, cilantro, onion, salsa. And people say, oh, these tacos are the best when I'm eating in Los Angeles.
I'm pretty certain we have one of the best tacos in town because whoever tries our food keeps coming back.
And that seems to be true. The tiny restaurant has a number of people who identified themselves as repeat customers, like this one, who drove in from the suburbs for lunch with her two young girls.
My name is Victoria, and we work here just visiting, and she loves it. That's why we're here.
Why does it seem like all of Los Angeles is so fond of tacos?
I don't know. It's a good question. I'm Mexican, so I assume maybe because it's right at the border, 3 hours away, and, that's what they sell over there, like in TJ, and so they bring it here, I think. I'm not sure. I mean, we just love it. If I go somewhere, they have to be really, really good. This is the place that I eat from, but I don't just eat regularly, just tacos just from anywhere.
Okay, enough with the talking about tacos. I ordered a couple to see what all the fuss was about. Terry Malagon brings a plate with two. One carne asada, the marinated beef she and Roberto are so proud of, and another with grilled pork. The meat in both is tender and flavorful. The homemade tortilla is soft, dense, and chewy, and it's all nicely offset by the bright acidity of chopped tomatoes, crunchy onion, and cilantro. No quiero Taco Bell.
This is amazing. New York, Miami, eat your hearts out.
Karen Grigsby Bates, NPR News, Los Angeles.
This is Mike Pesca in New York. On 50th Street in Manhattan, a row of 11 food carts diagonally across from Radio City Music Hall tell the story of street food in New York. Grilled lamb and gyros, a fruit stand, Shake Shack, two generic pretzel hot dog carts, ice cream, Philly Chewy Steak, that's C-H-E-E-W-E, burritos, and another grill, this one frying up lamb and chicken. Here, Dwayne McIntyre feels emboldened enough to place an order, if only to break up the monotony of Burger King and McDonald's.
I mean, it ain't the best place. There's a lot of grease. You gotta watch the cholesterol and all that.
The 11th cart is what makes this row exceptional. Daisy May's Barbecue serves chili, named Best in the City by New York Magazine, and also pulled pork, chicken sandwiches, and even chilled gazpacho. At high noon, the line winds past the other carts, and with recent construction cutting the width of the sidewalk in half, the crowd grows ravenous. Whale Gowali, the lone man in the chili cart, feels the heat.
Yeah, around this time, we get busy. It's like a long line. It's too much. Everybody got passion for the line because you want to get some food, good food for him,
But if you wait out the noonday rush, you wind up like this customer, Aaron.
About the Texas chopped brisket.
Told that his entree choices right. Come down to one, Whale presents a giant leg of turkey.
It's jumbo turkey leg.
What?
It's not regular size.
All right, let's have that.
Okay.
Sure.
It's bigger than Paris Hilton's Chihuahua, maybe even bigger than Paris Hilton.
I kind of did go for it because it was a giant turkey leg, and it seemed like a fascinating thing to bring back to the office.
Fascinating and delicious, if the rest of Daisy May's food is an indication. Daisy May's owner and chef, Adam Perry Lang, studied French cuisine under one of New York and the world's top chefs, Daniel Ballou. He has a main Daisy Mays restaurant, which only offers takeout, 9 street carts, 5 are currently deployed throughout the city, and gigs at other restaurants in restaurant-like environments, such as an upscale strip club where he is the executive chef. He says chili from street carts isn't so different from haute cuisine because both are about pleasing palates.
I didn't really want to try to appeal to every person, but I knew I would because I've really put my faith into quality and keeping to real, authentic base and not try to use any bells and whistles with it. It's really an honest recipe.
Honest, maybe, but chili and barbecue pork don't come to mind as the most authentically New York cuisines. But they are tasty. And when the food is created by a guy from Long Island, trained in French cooking, ladled out by an overwhelmed Egyptian, and craved by hundreds of New Yorkers of every stripe, that vat of chili becomes a veritable melting pot, making it a quintessentially New York dish. Mike Pesca, NPR News, New York.
I'm Eric Weiner in Miami. Here, the most popular street food isn't really food at all. It's coffee, Cuban coffee, and it's different from any coffee you've ever had before. Joining me is Juan Martinez, a certified public accountant and a connoisseur of Cuban coffee. Juan, what makes Cuban coffee so special?
Well, it's stronger than other coffee, much more concentrated, sweeter. It really has a kick to it, a concentrated kick to it. But it's also the experience of drinking Cuban coffee. It's usually a very social thing. You usually have a bunch of friends together. You're talking, whether it's getting it at a window in the street or whether you're making it at home. You know, there's a big social element attached to it, to the whole preparation and getting it.
It's also a bargain, 2 cups for $1.10.
That's the other thing you don't get at Starbucks. If you charge somebody $2 for a cup of coffee, I mean, there'd be an outrage in Miami. So,
now, I noticed that the cup we're drinking here is quite small, but it's potent. I mean, this is strong stuff.
It's like Cubans, you know? We're potent and we're highly concentrated.
So this is basically a small cup full of caffeine and sugar.
Yeah, all the important things in life. What you get in the street is a little bit different than what you're going to make at home. Because here the coffee tends to be more sugary, or more syrupy, I should say, because of the fact that you're not mixing the sugar outside of the coffee. So, but all in all, I think it's good. What do you think?
I think it's not bad. It's a bit strong for me. What could I order next time if I wanted something not quite as explosive?
You could have a cortadito, which is about half and half milk and Cuban coffee. Or you could have a café con leche, which is about an eighth Cuban coffee and then more milk.
That's a bit wimpy, though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Café con leche is, you know, what little kids have for breakfast, or you have for breakfast with some toast, you know?
Okay. Maybe a cortadito for me.
Cortadito,
okay. Great. Thank you very much, Juan. Appreciate it.
And that's NPR's Eric Weiner at the Latin American Cafe in Miami. We also heard from Karen Grigsby Bates at Terry's Mexican Grill in Los Angeles and Mike Pesca at Daisy Mays Barbecue in New York City.